Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I am sorry to report that this is Unfeatured Articles. Hello and welcome to Unfeatured Articles, the show about delving deep into the obscure and weird articles that Wikipedia has to offer. We're all about them. And who are we? Well, let me tell you. My name is James Keogh, and joining me today, as always, we've got Riley McNamara.
Thank you, James.
And Curtis Lang.
Guess who's drunk again, or hungover, either or.
Is it you?
Yes.
Oh, no, yeah, my friend. Done it again.
Which one, though? Drunk or hungover?
Yeah. Hungover. I'm hungover, but I'm so hungover that I said drunk.
You've cycled back.
Gone full.
Yeah.
Yeah. We recorded this episode in the same session that we did last time, so hopefully the massage that I mentioned that Zane gave me, because he's a wonderful masseuse,
yeah.
I'm still feeling pretty limber.
All right.
That's good.
Good, you'll need it. For all the high kicks
we've got. It's a very physical podcast.
It's a stunt-based podcast.
It's a very visual medium.
All the stunts, all the time.
It's true.
Let's talk about the show. What do we do? Well, I said what we do. We go into Wikipedia.
It's true. We do. We each bring an article and we talk about it. We have some bands and we shit on them a little bit.
Ooh. That's our scat podcast. That's the scat version of this podcast. We don't talk about that.
Unrelated to my cat podcast.
Yeah, that's this cat podcast.
And then I have a scat podcast where I talk about jazz.
Yeah, cool. So many podcasts.
So many layers.
So many layers. So let's just dive right in.
Sexy, cool jazz.
Sexy, cool jazz. And also shitting on
people.
And also felines.
Yes. Three of my favorite things.
That's what I call a
when
cool.
When the dog bites. When the bee stings.
Anyway, let's get right podcast.
Into it. I'm loving this.
Yeah, this is new.
This is new. I'm feeling fresh.
This is new for us.
We're at episode 24, boys.
That's it.
We are so close to the end that I can see the tunnel. I don't have to spend every 2 weeks Saturdays with you.
Whoa.
That's the dream.
No, I'm just kidding. We're going to start commencing recording season two like immediately after we
pretty
finish
much
season
immediately.
One.
So, yeah. Very exciting. Why don't we dive right into it? What have you got for us, Curtis Lang?
I have. Boys, I got a big old question for you.
Ooh.
How do you orientate your toilet paper?
Because there
is a very big and heated argument on the internet about toilet paper orientation. There are two main schools of thought regarding toilet paper orientation. Zane has got some opinions. We'll jump to Zane actually for a little. We'll get his opinion as well in a second.
This is why you have to be limber for this podcast. Punches are going to be thrown.
Someone dies tonight.
Yep.
Now, there are two main schools of thought. Mm-hmm. You've got the over orientation, wherein you put your toilet paper roll on your little toilet paper holder, mm-hmm. so that the toilet paper goes over the top and you pull it down the front and you pull it from there.
Yes.
The other school of thought is you put it on so that the end of the paper goes around the back,
yep.
over the top, round the back, underneath, and you pull it from underneath out. Mm-hmm. So, boys, I'm going to need from you right now.
Over.
Which one did over?
Over.
Curtis, all right, we're going to count to three, and we're both going to say what ours is.
Okay.
Zane looks like he's about to punch me.
Riley, you count us in.
3, 2, 1.
Ambidextrous, because I don't give a shit.
Aww, that's no fun.
Way to be
Pick
boring.
Pick a side. Don't be a centrist.
You flake.
All right.
Good. I liked that joke immense. So, Zane, you like over, under. You're an under man, are you?
Ladies and gentlemen, Zane Weber.
Zane Weber, our producer.
Are you predicting that I'm an under man?
You looked like you wanted to punch Riley when he said over.
I think that's just Riley projecting. No, the one and most only people way... Punch me. To serve your toilet paper to the world is over.
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Correct.
Yeah. Official position of the podcast, toilet paper goes over.
I'm happy
over.
With that because whilst I did say I don't really give a shit, I would say I think, because I can't actually remember, because I don't pay much attention, but I think I usually put it over.
It would be inconvenient otherwise.
Yeah.
You're just like...
Looking at the under, I'm not liking it. I'm not liking it.
What's the name of this page?
Toilet paper orientation.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
Does what it says on the label.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very self-explanatory. But while you're searching that up, James, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Please.
Toilet paper, when used with a toilet roll holder with an horizontal axis parallel to the floor and also parallel to the wall, has two possible orientations. The toilet paper may hang over, in front of, or under, behind the roll. If perpendicular to the wall, the two orientations are right, left, or near away. The choice is largely a matter of personal preference, directed by habit. In surveys of US consumers and of bath and kitchen specialists, 60 to 70% of respondents prefer over.
Not
so there
enough.
You go. That is the majority.
Good.
Not enough people think it should be over. That's 30% of people at least who are like wrong.
We need to take a bit of a leaf out of Thanos' book and just get them out of here.
Yeah. Half of the people?
Well, just 30%.
30 to 40%.
To be generous.
Yeah. So some people hold strong opinions on the matter. Advice columnist Anne Landers, who's she?
She's an advice
columnist. A pen named created by Chicago Sun-Times advice columnist Ruth Crowley.
Whoa.
So
she had to like,
it's a nom de plume.
She had to do a pseudonym for her
such
strong
a contentious
opinions.
Issue. Yeah. Said that the subject was the most responded to 15,000 letters.
Holy shit.
In 1986.
Whoa.
Amazing.
And controversial, and it was the most responded to and controversial issue in her column's histories. Defenders of either position cite advantages ranging from aesthetics, hospitality, and cleanliness to a paper's conservation. From aesthetics, hospitality, and cleanliness to paper conservation. So some people say you save more from going one way or the other.
I would agree.
The ease of detaching individuals.
I would say going under, you'd save more paper than going over because
I disagree.
I'm having a stroke. I can't remember the word. The instinct is to, I would feel like I would just pull more on it if it was over the top.
I guess you can like, if you pour at it in an over position. If I'm a cat, right?
Hypothetically, you're a cat.
I'm a cat.
I'm coming at this from the angle of a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As I do any situation.
Of course. Whenever you got to ask yourself a big question, you say, what would I do if I was a cat?
What would I do if I was a cat?
How would Henry approach this?
I pour at a roll of toilet paper. If it's in the over orientation, it's going to go quicker. But like under, I feel like it's going to like cycle back.
Guys, I think I'm going to change my answer.
No.
I'm going to start doing it under and see what kind of difference I have.
For the cats?
Just for the cats. I do have a cat at the moment.
That's true.
Yeah, I've moved in with a roommate. The kitten's name is Smitten.
It's adorable.
Pretty damn
cute. I have a 27-year-old... like bloke roommate, and he's named his cat Smitten. It's very weird.
Named his kitten Smitten.
Kitten Smitten. Nah, Cam, I like Smitten. She's just very scared of me at the moment. Defenders of either position. Yep. So
is there a pros and cons list? Because that's what I want
to
see.
I'm trying to
arguments for over or under.
The patent. What patent? The patent of the toilet paper. What's a toilet paper patent? I don't know. I'm gonna look up toilet paper patent.
It should be on the thing. It
should be on the thing, right?
Ah, the Tilt-A-Roll is a swiveling toilet paper dispenser invented by Curtis. Oh,
huh?
Oh no, Zane, what
invented
have you
by
done?
Curtis Batts in 1996, a Dallas native industrial engineer. His patents on the invention summarize his design as an adjustable angle coupling secures the yoke to the mounting assembly and permits rotation of the yoke about an axis directed orthogonally through the spindle, such that the paper roll can be orientated to unroll paper either from over or from under the roll as desired. An inventor named Rocky Hudson demonstrated a similar device he called the TP Swivel to the producer of the television program Pitchmen in late 2009. Another solution is to install toilet paper dispensers, as in more common in public. Zane, why am I looking at this? Why have you told me to read this?
It's a solution. Oh, here we go. Zane weighs in.
Yes, Zane's weighing in. I have lots of opinions.
For the first time in our 24-episode run, Zane is going to...
He's coming
in
to take
Seth
names.
Wheeler's original 1891 US patent illustration of a toilet paper roll.
Yes.
It is presented rolling overhand.
Yeah, as God intended.
As God intended. And now I leave you to your
As it says
mischief.
In the scripture.
That was like the 11th commandment.
The OG...
toilet roll.
Toilet paper goes over your goddamn inbreds.
Neanderthals.
Like God handed down the commandments to Moses and he was just like, now 10 of these are very applicable now. But in about 2,000 years, you're going to need to wipe your bum with something. When that happens...
I don't know what you're doing now, by the way.
Talk about this 11th one. You're probably just using leaves.
Open this letter. When it's to, when you invent
it's like
toilet
a time
paper.
Marty! It's a time capsule.
Are you Marty McFly?
Ooh,
I'd watch that movie where Doc sends like Marty a letter about how to do his toilet paper roll.
It breaks it down by sex and age.
Yeah, geez.
1989, they surveyed this. This is crazy.
So males from the age of... So this percentage are the respondents who roll their paper... Over,
yes.
71% of males aged 21 to 34, over. 81% of 35 to 44, over. 45 to 55, 60, 55 plus, 63. Average, 69, the sex number.
Good.
Can I read or I'll get
So it seems like at some point when like they start reaching 45, it's like, well, life's downhill from here. Turn it over. I'm going to start pulling from the bottom.
Curtis, check out, it's three paragraphs below that graph, starting with a pop culture, a popular culture. Go for it.
I'm looking for it. A popular culture occurrence of a gender theory is found in the Weekly World News, a supermarket tabloid that runs outlandish stories for Comedica Fed. In the 2003 story, North Korea Shocker! Exclamation mark.
Oh no.
This satirist news network claims that North Korean leader Kim Jong-il was secretly female. As supporting evidence, Kim supposedly watched the Home Shopping Network, is a member of Oprah's book club, and yells at staffers who leave the toilet seat up and hang toilet paper rolls outward instead of inward. Well, that's just very... Oh, 2003.
There you have it, folks.
Conclusive proof.
Conclusive proof. Oh, man.
I just love the idea of Kim Jong-un, Kim Jong-il, watching the Home Network and buddy is being a member of Oprah's book club.
What have I got this
reading
week?
The secret. Ooh, just can't wait.
Oh, bloody. Something about Kevin.
Something about Kevin.
We need to talk about Kevin?
That's the one.
My God. So yeah, there's just so much data on this article about like class and politics. Like Sinron observed of his survey, 60% of those who earn $50,000 or more prefer it to be over, and 73% of those who earn less than $20,000 prefer under. On what that proves, I don't know, but it sure is interesting.
Jesus.
Just, I don't know. Matter. Doesn't really matter, does it? But whatever.
So the follow-up question to this article.
Yes.
Do you sit or stand to wipe?
Sit. Oh wait, no.
Okay, anyone who stands to wipe is a fucking monster.
Yes.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Now, hold on.
That's just a recipe for getting poo on more bits of your body.
No,
you
you're
sit
right.
Down,
you gotta,
you
yeah,
spread.
You sit.
You're just in your position where you've got it all out of your system.
Yep.
You reach down. You wipe.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
We're
hold
going
on.
So do.
Yeah,
do you
yeah.
go under or do you go around the back?
I go around the back.
I go down the front.
Like between
you
your
what?
Bits?
Between my legs. I don't. Yeah.
But
I guess I'm a...
Oh, man.
It's not coming out.
Okay, no. Okay. So, like, I do, like, between sitting and standing, I kind of squat up a bit and then go behind.
Oh, you shift your weight.
Yeah, you shift your weight.
Shift your
and you go behind.
Yeah. See, I
like
go
a normal
in,
human
I go
being.
In front. No. See, that's
then you're like, your dick gets on your arm.
What?
Because you're going in between. You're going over between
your legs,
right?
You're worried about your dick getting on your arm.
I mean, like, a little bit.
Why?
Because I don't want that.
How dirty is your dick?
No, it's not a matter of that. It's just like, why would I want that to happen? Right? If I can avoid having my dick touch my arm, sure.
James, I think you need to become more familiar with your body. There's nothing wrong with your penis.
I know.
Hey, look at me. Look at me.
I know.
Nothing wrong with your penis, buddy.
Thank you.
I've turned my chair around. I'm sitting on it. I've got my arms on top. Hey, bud.
Oh, hey, Dan.
Okay, now I'm done.
Yeah, there it is.
This has been... I didn't intend for this. I didn't intend this. I'm sorry, everyone.
It's very important.
It is very important.
Very, very
I
important.
Just feel, I feel personally like I can't get it all off.
All your crevasses.
All my crevasses if I wipe, go around the back and wipe. I feel like I've got to go
what
around the front.
What can you do underwards that you couldn't do?
I get more reach. I get more reach.
I guess.
Are you also in danger of like putting your hand in the S bend? Or
nothing wrong with that. We don't kink shame here.
I guess.
How about you? Which way do you wipe? You go on the back?
Yeah.
All right.
So as James said.
You don't have to share this information if you don't want to.
Riley doesn't want his dick touching his arm.
I mean,
it's so long, I probably do it either way. Am I right, fellas?
Oh, boy, Riley Manamara. Oh, my word.
We've gone down a rabbit hole with this one. Whew.
All right.
See, I told you, it's contentious. And it's a gateway to so many other contentious things.
It's a gateway drug.
Yeah. Riley, what have you got for us?
Oh, I didn't want to be done.
Oh, what else do you have?
No, I've got nothing. Yeah. I'm just enjoying the revelry.
The revelry.
Such a thing.
Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Do we want to just call it there? That was a pretty high.
That was
decent.
Riley, right. Bring us back down.
I'm going to bring us way down with the Iberian ribbed newt.
Ribbed for your pleasure. Sorry.
Not really. So the newt, Iberian or Spanish ribbed newt, is a newt endemic to central and southern Iberian Peninsula and Morocco. It's the largest European newt species, and it's also known for its sharp ribs, which can puncture through its sides.
Oh, damn.
What? This species should not be confused with a different species with a similar common name, the Iberian newt. So there is a key differentiation in there, in that one of them is ribbed for its own displeasure, and one is not.
One's just a normal newt.
One's just a newt in Iberia. So the Iberian ribbed newt has tuberculosis.
Yeah, it's got tuberculosis. We're very concerned about it.
It's very unfortunate.
Mm.
No, it's got tubercles. I don't know how to pronounce that word. Why am I not good at this? Those things running down each side, mm-hmm. though it's through these, its sharp ribs can actually puncture.
Oh, damn.
The ribs act as a defense mechanism, causing little harm to the newt. That's good. Mechanism could be considered as a primitive and rudimentary system of envenomation, but it's harmless to humans, so that's good. If you go and try and pick up this newt and it like spikes you with its spiky ribs,
it's fine. You'll just get a prick.
Yeah, it'll probably sting, but like it's not going to poison you or anything. At the same time, it's pushing its ribs out. The newt begins to secrete poison from special glands on its body. Poison coats the ribs. Creates a highly effective stinging mechanism, injecting toxins through the skin into the predator's mouth.
Jeez. Oh, damn.
This thing is like, there's a bunch of these kind of like reptiles that have really weird defense mechanisms. Yeah. Like there's some, I think it's like a chameleon or something, like an iguana maybe, but it bursts blood vessels in its eyes. It sprays blood out of its
Jesus.
If something's like attacking it.
This is a mess.
He sounds like he's got some social issues. I bet he probably stands up to wipe. Yeah,
I've been touching my ribs like this whole time, but like imagine
they're not going to burst out.
Yeah, imagine them just like out the
Have
side.
Have you ever done like the...
And then you just poison them.
Oh. Ugh.
Yeah, it's like the weirdest superpower.
Yeah, right.
The weirdest. Just like so while, it's like emo Wolverine.
So while the ribs are like coming out the side,
yeah,
it's putting toxins into the ribs and like making them these like poison spikes.
Well, it secretes the poison through its skin. And then the ribs puncture through the skin.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Kind of like a poorly designed Wolverine.
It punctures through the skin, gets the poison on them.
Yeah.
And then what?
And then like, it only does it if it's going to be eaten.
Yeah.
So like if a predator's going to go eat it. And then it does
that. So it does that. And then inside a mouth.
Yeah. And then the predator bites down on the spiky ribs that are like
poison.
Pokey enough to tear through fucking... its own skin. And then,
Do you have a picture of this creature?
It's pretty normal looking.
One. It's just I think there's a better
picture. Just a newty looking boy.
There you go. Looks a bit funny.
Is there a picture of it doing its rib thing?
I don't know if I want to look at that.
I don't have that on here.
I'm going to Google it.
Okay. Iberian ribbed newt doing rib thing.
Did I see something about space in the article?
Yeah, you did.
Oh,
did they send one to space?
What you actually saw was the caption on the picture, which was the Iberian ribbed newt in an aquarium on Earth.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So you could, you could infer from that that it did go to space.
Gentlemen, our kind producer has found a picture of it doing the rib thing.
Excellent.
Which we will put in the show notes. It's not very graphic, but like you can definitely see that they've punctured.
Definitely doesn't look comfortable.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. So The space thing, we'll get to in a sec.
Ha-ha.
One of the other crazy things about this is its sex determination. So it's determined by regular sex chromosomes, which can be overridden by temperature.
Oh, no way.
Females have both the chromosomes. Males have two copies of one chromosome. Okay, so their chromosomes are Z and W, which are different from the human X and Y.
Well, you'd hope so.
Yeah, you would hope so. So females have the Z and Y. The males have two Zs. However, when the ZW larvae are reared at 32 degrees Celsius during the regular temperature, during particular stages of development from stage 42 to 54, apparently.
Oh, they got a lot of differentiate. We just got the one. We just got puberty. They got 54 stages of development at least.
That's rough.
Yikes.
But yeah, so during those particular stages, if they are reared at 32 degrees Celsius, they differentiate into functional neomales.
Mm. Okay. Wow.
Because of the temperature.
That's...
Hormones play an important part during the sex determination process, obviously. And the nudes can be manipulated to change sex by adding hormones or hormone inhibitors into the water in which they are reared. Aromatase, which is an estrogen synthesizing enzyme, acts as a steroid hormone, plays a key role in sex determination in many non-mammalian vertebrates, including this particular rib newt. It's found in higher levels in the gonad mesonephrous complexes. In the ZW, more so than in the ZZ, although not in the heat-treated ZW.
Hmm.
The increase occurs near the final stages at which the sex can be determined by temperature.
So after stage 52, it's like a lock.
Yeah.
Or stage 54.
That's when you got to submit. That's like...
That's the deadline.
That's the character creation lock button.
Yeah,
you finish there. So
that's really interesting.
That's interesting. And as we mentioned before, these things have been to space. They were studied in space on at least six missions. The first ones sent to space may have been in 1985 on board Bion 7. There were 10 newts that started out their journey with some other passengers. They had a couple of rhesus macaques.
Macaws, I believe. Macaw?
Macaw's no, a macaque. Bird.
Oh, right.
A macaque is a monkey.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Never mind.
And a bunch of rats, 10 rats. In an otherwise crewless Soviet satellite. In 92, Bion 10 also carried the newts on board, as did Bion 11 in 96. Research was continued later in 96 on the Mir space station. One of the reasons they were chosen is they're a good model organism to study of microgravity. They're a good model organism because of the female's ability to retain live sperm in her cloaca. For up to 5 months.
Whoa.
For a decent amount of time, allowing her to be inseminated on Earth and then later, when she's in space, have fertilization induced through hormonal stimulation.
Oh, that's so interesting. Whoa. I've thought about this, right? So if like a person, if we sent like a man and a woman into space and the woman got pregnant and the space baby was born in space and then like the space baby went back to Earth for the first time, right?
Yeah.
Would it be all like, whoa? Because like,
Well, we've all seen Wall-E.
True.
Wall-E.
But the Earth is like spinning, right?
Yeah.
And like hurtling through space, right? But like,
I don't know.
If you're in a spaceship.
How much weed have you had?
Yeah. Not enough to make this cohesive enough.
Well, James,
interestingly,
let me tell
enough,
you, I was planning on doing it, but episode 26... I'm going to be talking about sex in space.
Yes.
So we can have that conversation in much more detail.
Good.
Once I've explained the intricacies of how we do it.
But yeah, like to finish that off, the baby probably wouldn't. It'd probably hurt. It'd be uncomfortable.
Yeah, right. Imagine. Gosh, I feel bad for that hypothetical space baby.
Yeah.
Kid.
Yeah. So these little newts can be inseminated on Earth. They can be fertilized up in space. Another advantage of this species is their development is slow. So all the key stages of ontogenesis can be observed from the oocyte to swimming tailbed embryos or larvae. So
what
basically,
is that? An oocyte?
An oocyte.
Spell?
O-O-C-Y-T-E.
C-Y-T-E. Let's bloody define this, shall we? A cell in an ovary which may undergo meiotic division to form an ovum.
Oh, good.
So there you go. Ooh. It's part of the fertilization process.
Nice.
Fertilization? No.
Sure.
The reproduction process.
Yeah.
Let's just put a ball blanket term on it.
Does that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they looked at the newt's ability to regenerate. Because, like, obviously, as with a lot of these kind of, like, salamandery dudes, they can regenerate. Like, they can grow back an arm. They can, like, replace heart tissue, brain tissue,
sure,
things like that. It's actually faster in there in space.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Huh. And it's doubly as quick when they're in the early stages of their life. Like, it works out about two times the regenerative, or half the time it takes them to regenerate, basically. Mm. They've also studied them in zero gravity in space. They studied them in hypergravity. So they studied them in three times regular gravity.
Oh, dang.
And they tested the fertilization there as well. And the spaceborn newts, when they arrived, so like this female that they had the semen in,
yeah,
for a while, sent her up to space,
had her kids
in space, brought them back down. They were completely fine. They were fertile. They were completely functioning newts.
Nice.
Nothing wrong with them at all. And that is the
Iberian ribbed newt.
Pretty my cool God. Little dudes.
Very cool.
What do you got, Kira?
Let me tell you.
Talk to me about your article.
I want to talk about the Tetris effect.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Actually, the reason I was talking about this, or thinking about this rather, is because there was a game announced a couple of weeks back by the same name about this phenomena, I assume. So the Tetris effect, also known as Tetris syndrome, occurs when people devote so much time and attention to an activity that it begins to pattern their thoughts, mental images, and dreams. Takes the name, obviously, from the game Tetris. So people who played Tetris for a prolonged amount of time could find themselves thinking about ways different shapes in the real world can fit together, such as boxes on a supermarket shelf, like the buildings on a street, or even start hallucinating pieces being generated and falling into place on an invisible layout.
Yeah.
So you're just walking down the street, and then you're like, oh yeah, I should just pick up this building, put it here, and then make a line of this.
When I play an RPG for like a week straight and don't talk to anybody, and then the first time I talk to somebody, it comes up with like
dialogue options.
Yeah. Like in my mind, I'm like, if I say this,
press X to doubt.
Yes.
In this sense, the Tetris effect is a form of habit. They might also dream about falling tetrominoes while drifting off to sleep, or see images of falling tetrominoes at the edges of their visual fields or when they close their eyes. In this sense, the Tetris effect is a form of hypnagogic imagery.
Also referred to as hypnagogic hallucinations is the experience of a transitional state from wakefulness to sleep.
Yes.
Yes.
So this is not just limited to the game Tetris. There are lots of different kind of examples that bear the same kind of resemblance. Sea legs, when you're kind of out at sea, illusions of self-motion of like, oh, I'm at sea, is this kind of Tetris effect where you're on solid ground, but you're imagining that you're floating around.
Yeah, because you've been at sea for so long.
In the dainty sea. Yeah. There's this poem called...
It doesn't take long. I've had that.
Have you really?
Yeah. Really? Weird as hell.
Yeah.
It's get like when you're on a trampoline for a bunch of time, and then you just like are on ground, and it's like, it's so
yeah.
There's this poem "Boots," which describes like sea legs, and it's like, "Tain't so bad by day because of company, but night brings long strings of 40,000 million boots, 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 moving up and down again. There's no discharge in the war." I don't think that's about repetitive visual experience during a route march.
Yeah.
I think in the
way that the poem is written, there's like specific dashes, like, so I think pauses in between certain words. So I think it's a very rhythmic kind of style of thing.
As though you're applying the kind of the march.
So bad by day because of company.
Boots, 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 moving up and down again is definitely a precursor to booty, 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 rocking everywhere. I think we can all agree.
Yeah.
Official position of the podcast.
This is actually something that's happened to me. On the mental level, computer programming has resulted in dreams about coding.
The Matrix.
Yeah. I literally, when I have like a big assignment or something and I like spend all night coding, I'll wake up. I had this big Java assignment, and I would like wake up and like the actions that I would do is like, you know, set James to awake or yeah. like something like I would just literally like think all these things of like how I was like getting up.
That's
it was messed.
You need to not do.
Yeah, I need to not do
those
that.
Assignments the night before.
Yeah. So the history of this term, the earliest known reference is in Jeffrey Goldsmith's article, This Is Your Brain on Tetris. And he essentially, you know, chronicled what this was. There were actually studies done about how Tetris-like video games may help prevent the development of traumatic memories. If the video game treatment is played soon after the traumatic event, the preoccupation with Tetris shapes is enough to prevent the mental recitation of traumatic images, thereby decreasing the accuracy, intensity, and frequency of traumatic reminders. There's also, I was hearing, I don't know if it's here in the article, just skimming through, but like people who, yeah, here it is, showed that people with anterograde amnesia, unable to form new declarative memories, so basically unable to form memories out of the things that occur, also after like playing the game in this like test environment, reported dreaming of falling shapes after playing Tetris during the day, despite not being able to remember playing the game Tetris.
Wow, that's interesting.
So they reported like, oh yeah, I had this dream about these falling blocks in like different shapes, almost exactly well, like the
that's
game
really
Tetris.
Interesting when you think about that in like the way that they study like how to prevent memory loss and that kind of thing.
Right, exactly.
That would open up like a whole lot list of questions if I was working on that kind of thing as the scientific mind that I am.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. No, but that's interesting.
Mm.
Yeah, that's weird.
Participants who played Tetris for 12, 30-minute sessions did much better than the control group in both a paper-pencil test version of spatial skills as well as a computerized version of the same test. So yeah, basically I think the conclusion we can draw from this is just go out and
play Tetris.
Play a bunch of Tetris. It's still one of the best games of all time.
It is very, it's a very good puzzle game.
It's a fantastic, yeah. fantastic game. I love it. I love it so much.
Official position of the podcast.
Love Tetris. Big Tetris fan.
My favorite video game. Well, no, I can't commit to that.
Ooh, what's your favorite game?
What's my favorite game?
Yeah.
Probably Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh yeah, it's a good game.
Very good. What about you? What's your favorite game?
Welcome
to our video game chat podcast.
Yeah, we're just talking about video games.
We are going to do this now. What's your favorite game?
I really like either Paper Mario.
Oh yeah, you're a Nintendo boy.
Or Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, fair enough.
Kingdom Hearts.
I can tell you what Riley's is. It's Dark Souls.
Ooh.
No.
No.
I've been trying.
What do we got?
I like Dark Souls. It's a good game. It makes me very mad.
Yeah, it makes everybody mad.
Ocarina of Time.
Yes.
Ah, fair enough.
Good game.
There you go.
Yeah.
What's your favorite game of this year?
This year? I haven't finished God of War yet.
God of War is my favorite game of this year.
I'm assuming that by the time I'm finished, it's
so good. How about you, Riles? Have you played anything new this year?
Dark Souls Remastered.
Fair. There you go. Look fair.
Zane, your favorite game? I see him playing Civilization VI a lot.
There you go.
I do play Civilization VI a lot, but I don't play many games. Honestly, my favorite board game, my favorite computer game of all time is a digital version of Scramble.
What do you play on Tabletop
Words
Simulator?
Words with Friends.
No one will play with me on Words with Friends.
Oh, we all play with each other.
We are the biggest Words with Friends
You're fans. Okay, I'll see how long it takes for me to drive you away.
All right, good.
Done.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the last episode of Unfinished Articles.
Yeah. Welcome to the first episode.
I did forget we were recording for like
Words with Friends podcast that we're now starting. How good would that be? Let's have a Words with Friends podcast. I have no idea what form or shape it would take.
All right, you come back next week and report to us.
It would just be a Let's Play Words with Friends. Screaming at each other.
But it's one move per week.
Bullshit words.
So it's the first week it's like, I play Tetris, the first word down. And then next week, I play
it
on the I. Triple letter. I would love that.
That'd be a great, it'd be like a 20-second podcast. This is what we played this week.
I love it.
Oh, my word.
Let's vote for the winner of this show.
Yeah, the podcast. Fuck. Rightio. Well,
I really like. Yeah. Oh, sorry. No,
you know, please. I was going to say I went first. So, James.
Okay.
Let's recap. You did.
I did Tetris Effect.
Tetris Effect.
Iberian Ribbed Newt.
And I did Toilet Paper Orientation.
What a cool episode we did.
Yeah.
I liked the toilet paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting thing that detailed.
We got so passionate about it.
It was very passionate, very detailed.
There was good chats had about toilet paper.
Yes. How about you, Riles?
Yeah. Yeah, it's toilet paper.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also going to vote for toilet paper.
You can't. You know this.
I'm doing it.
No, no, no.
You can't stop.
What would you vote for?
All right, I vote for Tetris.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Also voting for Tetris.
I'm kidding. No, yeah, I'll vote for Tetris.
Yeah.
I think. Because that's
Tetris
really...
Tetris wins.
Hey!
No.
There you go. It's toilet paper orientation.
Well, that's great. Toilet paper orientation for episode 24. But gentlemen, next week, what a special episode we have.
Yeah, we have my sister coming on the show.
The delightful Elizabeth Kehoe.
It's true.
Liz Kehoe herself, she's coming in.
Coming in. It's very exciting.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun with that one.
Good lad.
Good lad. One of the boys. One of the gents.
Alrighty. The better Kehoe, I think we can all agree. Do you agree?
I do agree.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you know what you're agreeing to?
That she's the best Kehoe.
Oh, God, I thought you didn't know.
Yeah, okay. No, I would agree to anything.
She's going to come in and we're going to talk about a bunch of... We're going to do what we usually do with guests and probably... Bully her a little bit.
Have some fun.
Have some fun. Until then, you can listen to this episode. You're currently listening to this, so congratulations to you. But you can listen to that one when it comes out and every other episode that has come out previously on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or any other good podcatcher of your choice. We've got some social media, don't we, boys?
We do.
Yes, indeed. We've got Instagram where you can find us under Unfeatured Articles. Mm-hmm.
Twitter, where you can find us at Unfeatured Pod.
And Facebook, we are Unfeatured Articles, www.facebook.com/unfeatured articles.
Facebook.com/unfeatured articles.
That one.
You fucked it.
Well, let's do the podcast over again.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. We'll cut this one here.
We are a part of That's Not Canon Productions. Thank you so much for having us on the network. Yeah.
You can find a lot of other good That's Not Canon shows on the network as well. And then they fucked. Musical Sort Me Everything I Know. James's podcast, My Songs Suck.
And our theme song is Precatorian Friends by Kevin MacLeod.
Indeed.
That'll do it for us, folks.
I think it will.
Until next time.
Bye.
Browse responsibly.
Bork, bork, hello.
Bork, bork, hi.
You know what you need to be doing? You need to be listening to the Floof and Papa podcast.
I'm Mel.
I'm Taylor. And we're going to talk about all things dogs.
Dog stories. Dog breeds.
Dog tips and tricks.
Dog puns.
Dog jokes.
Dog
everything. Out if you're not listening. Hit us up at the Floof and Papa podcast wherever you get your podcast.
Tune in.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.